First of all, construction set to begin today on the NC-86 bridge over I-85 in Hillsboro to repair damage caused by a pair of crashes earlier this year. That work was set to begin last month but got delayed due to bad weather. Work is going to take a couple weeks, and during that time, you should expect closures on both 86 and I-85, with southbound traffic on the interstate routed off the highway and back on again at the bridge during the overnight hours. Those closures have caused extra congestion and frustration for drivers in Hillsboro, and Town Commissioner Matt Hughes said it's just one of several projects that will cause some necessary delays around town.
Whatever we can do in the short term to make sure that folks can get from point A to point B is going to be very critical, because this is an artery. In fact, a business owner just yesterday called me and said, "What can the town do?" I'm like, "It's not a town road, it's DOT." But we're working with them to ensure that they can actually make the repairs and get people moving again. As I told that one business owner, you know, this is a glimpse into your future with the expansion of broadband, with both Lumos and Google operating in our community, and then also the fact that we know there's work being done on 40. We see it all the time. It's a glimpse into our future because our region is rapidly growing, and we need the infrastructure to catch up. And unfortunately, DOT does not begin expansions and improvements until population is already here. And so what I just ask people is to be patient, to be understanding, know that there's going to be disruption, plan for it, but ultimately when we get on the other side of the hump, it's going to be well worth it.
That's Matt Hughes speaking there. You can head to our website, chapelboro.com, to listen back to the full conversation and to get more details on the closure of the bridge. Turning to state news, Republican lawmakers in Raleigh have introduced yet another bill targeting transgender students and giving parents more power to challenge libraries and other school officials. Among other things, the new version of Senate Bill 90 would give parents more ability to file legal challenges against school decisions they disagree with, and imposes more restrictions on school libraries and sex ed in schools, and it creates a new committee to develop standards for public schools appointed mostly by the General Assembly, though the State Board of Education would still have oversight over whatever they come up with. Democrats slammed the bill as soon as it was released, but it's not clear yet how much chance it has to pass the General Assembly. Lawmakers are trying to adjourn by August, though that too will likely be delayed because Republicans still have not reached agreement among themselves over a final state budget now 2 weeks into the new fiscal year. Democratic leaders slammed that delay as well at a press conference yesterday, pointing out that the lack of a budget is also delaying Medicaid expansion and raises for teachers. Meanwhile, state health officials are reporting a continued spike last week in COVID-19 particles found in wastewater. Still very low levels compared to earlier in the pandemic, but nonetheless a 47% jump from the week before and more than double the levels from 2 weeks before. The good news is COVID hospitalizations remain low. In fact, that number dropped last week by 15% across the state. Still, health experts are reminding everyone to keep taking basic precautions, including staying up to date on your COVID vaccine. In other news, environmental advocates have long pushed for government agencies to reduce their carbon footprint as part of the fight against climate change. One of the biggest obstacles there has always been cost, but new research is showing that going green is actually cheaper than not going green. A new report from the U.S. Public Interest Research Group, PIRG for short, finds state and local governments can save billions by buying electric vehicles when it's time to replace their existing vehicles, even though EVs may be more expensive up front. Katie Craig is the state director of the PIRG Research Fund in North Carolina.
Our state and local governments across the U.S. own over 4 million vehicles, and 900,000 of those are light-duty vehicles, like your everyday cars and sedans. And switching those light-duty vehicles alone to electric could save us nearly $11 billion across the U.S. and over $350 million here in North Carolina. We looked at the upfront costs combined then with the fuel savings and maintenance savings in particular that come from electric vehicles. The biggest savings we see is a 68% reduction in costs for fueling those vehicles and a 37% reduction in costs from maintenance. And those over sort of the lifespan of owning those vehicles really add up to make them the more affordable option. It can be slightly more expensive upfront, but then those savings over time really outweigh that initial upfront expense.
That's Katie Craig there. Get the full conversation in the This Morning with Aaron Keck section of our website, chapelboro.com. Finally, we head to the theater, where UNC was recently honored by the Hollywood Reporter as the 16th best drama school in the world, thanks in part to its connection with Playmakers Repertory Company. Among many other things, Playmakers' success is partly a function of how well the actors can nail the accents and dialects of the characters they play. Carolina Connection's Sophia Boserto recently introduced us to one faculty member who works with actors to sound their most authentic.
On the second floor for the Center of Dramatic Arts is where you can find Gwendolyn Schwinke's office. Despite having been a professor at UNC for 4 years, she still hasn't quite moved in. Filled with natural light, only a skeleton map is hung up on the wall, and books such as Shakespeare's glossary sit on the desk. Schwinke is an assistant professor of voice and speech at UNC, as well as the resident vocal coach for the Playmakers Repertory Company.
Like a lot of teachers of voice, I began as an actor. That's something I started doing in high school and just loved and kept doing it. And I went to grad school in acting. I have an MFA in acting. And when I was in grad school, I got really interested in voice and also movement.
At Playmakers, she teaches several different components about voice vocal production, as in actors effectively conveying themselves with their voice, and accents and dialects for the stage. Accents and dialects are key components of completing a character. So, for the Jane Austen play Emma, actors adopted a British accent.
And so, one day when...
Emma!
When we happened to encounter Mr. Weston on a walk...
Emma!
I simply pretended to sprain my ankle.
You can't ignore me forever.
Watch me.
To teach accents, vocal focus and rhythm, and sound substitution are three things that Schwinke looks at to create an accent.
I create lists of all the sounds or most of the sounds in English, and then identification of any of those sounds that change in the new accent.
For the Playmakers production of As You Like It by playwright William Shakespeare, Schwinke assisted actors with their accents. But rather than British ones, these were dialects from Oklahoma. For this production, director Tia James placed it in Oklahoma in 1921, drawing a parallel to the play's banishment of a duke to race riots that forced black neighborhoods to move elsewhere.
Why, dear friend? Why, Rosalind?
So, actors adopted a Southern Plains accent. It's a Southern accent, but it sounds different from accents that can be heard in Alabama or Georgia.
In the Southern Plains, we say our R's, and so the word part, P-A-R-T, would be part, whereas in Alabama, it might be pot.
Sound substitution for a Southern Plains accent sounds like this.
So if I say words like, in my own accent, like, kind, night, five, higher, in the Southern Plains accent, we get like, kind, night, fire, higher, like, kindly. Yeah? So you're nodding, so you recognize that sound. It's pretty common to the American ear.
And if an actor needs a richer Southern Plains accent, then it would sound like this.
If we look at the word help, a person from deep in the country in Oklahoma might say, help. Yeah? So then it makes sense, right? And glance might be glance. And here, which doesn't have an L, might be here.
While an authentic and accurate accent is important for actors to achieve, having an accent that is hard to understand takes away from a performance. So, sometimes actors have to back off a bit to make sure that the audience understands and enjoys the performance.
Get you with him, you old dog.
Is old dog my reward? Most true, I have lost my teeth in your service. God be with my old master.
Thanks to Schwinke's work, Shakespeare and an Oklahoma accent sounds pretty natural. In Chapel Hill, I'm Sophia Basurto.
For Carolina Connection, a student-produced radio newscast from the UNC Hussman School of Journalism and Media. Find more of their stories from the year online at carolinaconnection.org. It is time now for sports, brought to you this hour by Olmaz Jewelers. Quick sports report this morning, celebrating a few Tar Heels who got individual honors this week. First up, best of luck to men's golfer David Ford. He's making his PGA Tour debut starting today in the Barbasol Championship in Kentucky. Highly decorated collegiate golfer now moving into the PGA, at least for this week. Back in Chapel Hill, congrats to senior football star Cayman Rucker. He's just been nominated for a spot on the All-State AFL FCA Good Works team, recognizing players who show exceptional leadership on and off the football field. Rutgers a preseason All-ACC pick by Athlon Sports. He also regularly volunteers with local child-focused charities. And big congratulations as well to Tar Heel wrestler Lachlan McNeil. He just took gold in his weight class at the Grand Prix of Spain, his first international gold medal. McNeil was wrestling for Team Canada.